gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sticking me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, y'all.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches.
They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit.
Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Witch Life Podcast. We haven't even said three words and we're already falling apart.
Yeah.
I'm Hillary. I'm your host today, and I'm joined by these two freaks.
I'm Courtney. I'm freak number one.
And I'm Kanani, and I'm freak number two.
Speaking of freaks, if you hear weird crunching noises in the background, it's my freak dogs. We're trying to keep them occupied with bully sticks. So,
if you hear background noise of a small child screaming, it is my daughter who has a stuffy nose.
Oh no!
And things took a turn for the worst when I informed her that Daddy would be putting her to bed tonight, and that all of a sudden turned into a.
No.
Which normally she's all up, she's a daddy's girl. She's all about mommy can just go fuck right off. I got daddy. I don't need you. But now that I'm sick,
this time
nobody
she's like,
but
no.
Mommy will do.
Oh my God. Well, and who is the other person that's on this podcast?
She did introduce herself as freak number two.
As freak number two. And
she
what
also
have you been
doing? Has background noise.
Yeah. What is your background noise?
My background noise is possibly a dishwasher and a different small child banging things around. So we're just
we're really
a mess
doing
today.
A good background
so
noise
there's possibly just this is going to be the background noise episode. Unfortunately,
it's going to be what it is.
I did not sleep last night because my little girl could not sleep. Therefore, I could not sleep, and so yeah, there will be great pauses between simple words in my contributions to this episode.
Same.
And that's just Mercury retrograde, just kind of slapping my ass on the way out, going, hey,
right on the way out. Like,
oh, God. Yeah. So many things.
I think it's been in preparation for the full moon. I have had nightmares all week long leading up to it. And I've had the weirdest people in my dreams. Two nights ago, I had a dream. The last dream I had before I woke up had Luke Perry in it. Not in any kind of a fun sense that you'd want to have Luke Perry in your
dream. I was going to ask you about Luke Perry.
I'm like,
Perry.
Wait, what?
Like I said, usually I'd be happy about it. But these have all been like nightmare, run for your life, like horrible dreams that I've had all week. And then a different dream that same night that I remembered had Oprah and someone else that I can't remember that was uber famous in it. And I've just had the weirdest dreams, but they've all been really like really hardcore, really upsetting. And those are the only ones I've remembered. Outside of that, I don't remember them. I just wake up feeling really upset and knowing I had really troublesome dreams.
So was Luke Perry a zombie?
No, he was like a friend who was dealing with something or there was some sort of a drama and he was just kind of in the mix. He was one of the people in the mix that was in danger and that were trying to figure out what to do. He just happened to be one of the characters, not the kind of character I would like him to play in one of my dreams. But it was, all week long, just really like crappy dreams. And I'm like, I'm not here for this.
Sucks.
I'm not enjoying this
happens.
At all. This sucks. It's funny.
No.
I feel like when my life was just falling to pieces and I was just a mess all day, every day, I never had bad dreams. Didn't necessarily have good dreams, but I never had bad dreams. And now that I feel like this week, I felt like this last week, I felt really good about things and I feel like I'm catching up and I feel like things make sense. So of course, at night, I'm just haunted with these just horrible dreams because in my waking hours, I'm actually calm and feeling good about myself.
Because it's that deep, deep resonating feeling of anxiety where it's like, when you know what the anxious shit is, you're like, oh, I know what the shit is. So I'm just going to, you know, put all the shit fires out. But when there aren't any shit fires to put out, that's when your subconscious is like, ooh,
the brain, I'll the bet brain there's a, be like,
or there's you know a shit fire somewhere. And I'm going to, it's going to come brain, to you as Luke Perry.
My brain likes to be like, everything's good, but you know what could happen? All of these terrible things could happen. I'm like, oh my God, can you please? Like, can you just not?
I have every single night for the past, I think it's been for the past year, I have ended up the kids on TikTok would say it's a glitch in the matrix, because every night I end up in the same place in my dreams, picking up where I left off. And it's like some kind of summer camp. And I work with a team of people, and we're developing some kind of thing. And it's a very specific place by this very specific part of a very specific river. And every night I'm in the same place doing the same work. It's like nothing. I can't remember anything that is said. I can't remember any feelings except just generally pleasant, but focused, just kind of like when you're at a regular humdrum day at a job you reasonably like, just kind of like, yeah, it was fine day, no, nothing to report, nothing super exciting, nothing
crazy,
super
dramatic. But like every night
it's like
bizarre.
I clock out of this life and I clock into that life, and yeah, so I don't know if anybody out there has been having dreams of me at a summer camp.
If like, Courtney's torturing you at a summer camp,
I'm not torturing anyone, I don't think.
You might be. I don't know. You just said you didn't remember. You could.
Because it's like, because I said it's like pleasantries. It's like, oh yeah, so we're thinking about, we're probably going to want to put this table over here, you know. So I could be boring somebody to death in their dreams, and that could be torture.
Yeah, someone's like, I came to summer camp to have fun, and Courtney's
making me, like, keeps making me move furniture. You know, somebody
actually had a listener reach out to me to tell me they had a dream about me, where we had gone out drinking and just causing just all kinds of ruckus together and shenanigans and having a bunch of fun. And they were telling me all about this dream, and I was so excited. And I'm like, thank you for that, because that's so much better than my everyday life.
So it's like you are showing up in people's subconscious as the troublemaker bad girl, which is funny because that's like not who you are at all in real life.
I'm the one who hangs around the people that are causing trouble and enjoy all of the watching of the trouble, but I'm usually never the one that's actually causing the trouble. I'm just amongst them. I've always walked on the line. I dance on the line. I never go over the line. I'm dancing on the line, enjoying the view from the line. That's what I do.
You're like, look at this trouble. You should do it. And then you're like, I'm going to watch you do it.
Exactly.
You're one of those people. An instigator. That's also me.
You're the instigator, Hillary. You're the one who's like, hey, you know, you should go do this. Are you going to do it with me? Oh, I'm totally going to do it with you. And then you don't.
And then
it's
I
like, I think we told the story on the podcast. Hillary forgot all about this. Is when we had this Regina George in my high school, and she never bothered me. I was just too weird to even get on her radar. But we were in class together, and Hillary said, hey, look over at Regina and go, meh. And I said, are you going to do it with me? And you're like, yeah, I'm totally going to do it with you. We're going to do it together on the count of three. And I said, okay. And so 1, 2, 3, I look over at Regina and I go, Ree! And she's like sucking on a lollipop, and she's just staring at me blinking. She's so confused. And then I look over at Hillary, and Hillary is just taking notes in her notebook, like looking up. And I was like, Ree, what did you do? And you're like, I don't know. I don't know why'd you do that. Do you remember this?
I do. I do.
Hillary's the instigator. Kanani is the sit back and judge degator. And I'm the one who's usually dancing on the table and making the strange faces at people because someone told me it'd be a good idea.
There has been more than one time that I have pretended to not know Courtney at a party. That has happened more than once, where she's doing something really weird. And they're like, didn't you arrive with her? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
That never happened.
No, literally, you will actually, at that point, you'll take the mic and go, yes, she's my friend, but no, I don't know her. That's when you'll announce to everyone. You're like, I don't know this person who has been my best friend for 3 decades now. We've never met. Yeah.
Yeah. She can't be trusted. No public appearances ever again.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, but then the Kanani kind of spins out these stories where she's like, oh, I was going to do this. And like, Rhee, you missed it because you were suffering under the labor of capitalism last time that we had an intro. We're talking about, like, who among us is most likely to get arrested. And Kanani likes to spin that she's the one that's going to get arrested.
No, it's not going to be
her. We all know. No, she will have exited as soon as she's like, I sense that there might be blue lights coming. I'm going to exit stage left immediately.
Yeah, it's not you.
It's my only fear is if there were ever an occasion where I would likely get arrested, I wouldn't leave. It would have to be something so severe that I would literally be like, nope, I have signed on to life in jail. I would never get arrested for something superfluous. That would never, ever.
It would be
happened.
Intentional, but intentional.
It yeah. would be something like I literally sat down and I said, I don't care that I don't look good in orange. Here we go. So, yeah, I wouldn't be leaving if it ever came down that I got arrested for something. It would not be something they would let me leave for. So that's why I would avoid it.
The real question is, if you were going to get arrested, what would you get arrested for?
Oh, for me, it would be some kind of activism work. I mean, that's the times that I've gotten close to being arrested, it's always been
Courtney would be tied to something.
Yeah, I'd be tied to something. So the last time I was close
to trying to think what Hillary would be arrested for.
Probably activism.
Probably something similar.
Yeah. Or you're doing some kind of
The only time I've gotten in trouble has been for protesting or activism.
Yeah. I could also see where you could do something that's like I could see you doing art in protest, which might could involve doing something, you know, that would be, oh, you can't do art here. You need a permit. I'm doing art here anyway.
Yeah.
Arrest me. That's the kind of, so it would be like a straddling the line of art and activism, which often goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see that. So Kanani would be either
talking about if we were arrested, what would we be arrested for?
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. Super normal.
Normal conversation.
This is what happens when we record the night before a full moon. It's really not our fault that it's the night before a full moon that we're recording. You really shouldn't be shocked that we're talking about nightmares and what we would be arrested for.
I've been like a zombie all day. Like, people are talking to me and I'm like, I feel dumb. Like, I really feel like I can't think. You know when you're just like tired and...
Oh yeah, that's been me today.
Bye. And I was like, I don't even know what's happening. I hope nobody asks me any questions to which I need to have an intelligent answer because it's not going to happen.
I call it like having a feral day, and I haven't had a feral day in a while.
I like that.
Would be like the nights that, you know, when the baby just would not sleep. And so the next day it's like you're eating cereal out of the box with your hands and you're, you know, like just scrounging through life, clawing your way along through the day. Yep. Today was definitely a feral day for me. So I just put on clothes like 20 minutes ago and it's almost 6 o'clock and the clothes consist of sweatpants. So I moved from pajamas to sweatpants. There has been some progress.
That's progress. Yeah. That's a step.
Uh-huh. So it was funny. My husband came home and he's like, I'm going to go get dressed. He's like, have you been in that since this morning? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I have.
Whatever. I mean, why don't judge? Like, you're at home. I mean, like,
I wasn't even
sweatpants.
A full moon in Scorpio. So if needs any other explanations as to why we're talking about things like this, yeah, it's a full moon coming up.
It wasn't Scorpio. For me in our home, it was not judging. It was my husband, the medical professional, assessing the situation and taking in the information to see the state of my mind, where he's like, you have not dressed today. I am clocking this. This is information that I must be aware of.
He's like, we haven't made much progress today. Note.
Note. Yeah. He's also told me I've fallen too far down my apocalypse rabbit hole. I'm still going. I'm still going strong down the apocalypse rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like everything I see now, I just relate to the Cold War. Speaking of moon and Scorpio, death, destruction, and world domination, I was just like, we were watching, was it The Seventh Seal? And I was like, when did this movie come out? And he's like, 1955. It's about the guy that death is following him in a robe. and he's playing chess with him everywhere and stuff like that. And I guess I think it was Swiss or German or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. This whole thing is an analogy for nuclear war. He's like, honey, everything is not nuclear war. I'm like, in the 50s, like, it was.
Kind of.
But also.
But also, I can definitely draw a parallel to nuclear war.
Yeah. But also this impending sense of doom following around playing chess and nobody else knows. Anyway, Moon and Scorpio. I've fallen down that rabbit hole. Somebody get me out.
Help.
Let's talk about Kanani getting arrested again. That was fun.
Yeah, let's talk about Kanani getting arrested.
That's fun.
Everyone that just turned it on have no contest. They're like, what? When did Kanani get arrested? Let's start rumors as to why Kanani got arrested.
Let's start a rumor.
So
how many days have you been out of jail so far? Just 3 days, right?
I've been out for three days.
See, now if someone tunes in, they're going to be like, wait, what?
So, yeah, Kanani was reading tarot topless at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland.
We literally said, not topless in public.
I don't think that would get me arrested in Portland.
Oh, you
might get a strongly worded letter with some emojis on it.
I would get a letter from the city with emojis that has a sad face, a frowny face. Is there a judgy emoji? If there is, I need to save it in my phone.
Because the city is not mad. They're just disappointed.
Exactly. Kanani, what are your full moon plans other than recovering from your bout in jail?
Right. So it said for me specifically for Libra Sun, I have Libra Sun. So it said specifically for me that this is a good time for me to work on my finances and do some financial planning. And kind of do a deep dive. So I was going to kind of do that. And it also said to focus on having some funds for activity and relaxation. So that was something I was going to do, was maybe do some budgeting stuff tomorrow, as well as some candles and incense. And I was going to cleanse the house. Let me see. I'm going to look really quick. And I'm going to see Courtney as a Cancer. You were supposed to navigate your relationships within your peer group that may be shifting, and only those based on a strong foundation are thriving. Don't be afraid to connect with new people. So you may need to.
I may need to find some new podcast friends.
You may need to have some new pod. I think
It's about time.
That's what I was thinking. So you got some friends stuff to go through, apparently.
Yeah.
Hillary, you're a Taurus, right?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it says, even if you're busy, you're supposed to show your loved ones you care. Simply listening and responding to messages promptly can make a big difference.
Nice.
You're pretty good about that.
Because you're really good about that all the time.
Yeah. Especially we stay in touch a lot. I mean, most of it's through reels and TikToks. But
literally just like,
I know. We mostly communicate
something and instead of responding, someone will just send a GIF or a reel. Instead of words. I mean, I get
that's still
it, right?
A valid form of communication now.
It is a legit form. It's legit. I know. I sent you a reel a second ago about someone that had a warthog as a pet in their house. And I thought it was, and I was like, why don't I have a warthog as a pet in my house?
I want to say, because that wouldn't make sense. But for you, I actually am also now wondering why you don't have a warthog in your house.
I mean,
exactly.
I think the only challenge is that
world is not a fair place.
Your yard is not quite big enough for two large dogs and a warthog. But when we get our compound, which, you know, it's going to happen one of these days.
This warthog had its own little house inside the house.
Yeah.
He would like go into his little warthog den inside the house. And I'm like, I could make a warthog den. I feel confident.
When we get
the backyard would be a little cramped for two large menaces and a warthog menace.
Oh my God.
Two menaces that have been like maniacs all day. Like, it's literally like, I'm like, guys, it's a Monday. I'm tired. Like, I'm on meetings and like Benny is like jumping in and out of the screen. And I'm just like, okay, this is like, it looks insane. He's like bouncing around behind me on a call. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm trying to have a serious conversation and it's like, nope, just kidding. My dog's going to look like a maniac in the background. Have to keep some levity in there somewhere, I guess.
I know. Scorpio moon. It's making us all. Right?
ridiculous.
I'm actually excited we get to talk about something fun like perfume magic today, because that
me too.
I feel like everything like is so intensified right now, and everything is just so meh. That, you know what? Like, let's talk about something fun. So let's talk about something wonderful. Let's talk about perfume.
It's going to make me want to wear. I wore perfume to bed the other night for no reason at all. And it was so nice because then for days, my bed smelled like perfume.
Your sheets and your pillow. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that tonight.
Plus, everyone's going to love Bee because Bee is wonderful. It's probably time to go hear from our sponsors. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. We'll see you in a sec.
Our amazing sponsor, Luna & Co., has a new product that we cannot gush enough about, a new Mars Protection Ritual Oil. Ritually made on a Tuesday under a waning moon using Martian energy, not alien energy, Martian energy. And it contains carnelian crystals and essential oils connected to Mars. With all the crazy stuff going on, who couldn't use a great protection oil?
I was very excited to see that until I also saw that they have a Saturn Protection Ritual Oil that is ritually made on a Saturday on a waning moon using Saturnian energy. It includes black tourmaline crystals, activated charcoal, and various essential oils that correspond with protection. I can't decide which one I want more. I mean, obviously, I'm just going to buy them both.
Yeah, Taurus.
Obvious stuff.
I have not only used their soaps and oils for myself, but I have also gifted many of their products as well. They are absolutely fantastic, and their handcrafted natural soaps are wonderful for your skin while also incorporating magic into your everyday self-care routine. Luna & Co. is an enchanting soapery with the purpose of elevating your magic through the art of self-care, and they have passionately handcrafted their natural soaps and ritual oils with intention in mind.
I mean, whether you're looking for a quick shower or a leisurely magical bath ritual, Luna & Co. Soapery creates a potent tool for personal transformation and spiritual growth, so you can elevate your magic and amplify your manifestations when you use Luna & Co. Soapery products. And I can personally say that I love each and every one of them that I've tried.
You can find Luna & Co. Soapery on Instagram at LunaCoSoap and at their website, LunaCoSoap.com. Luna & Co. Soapery ships domestically. For international shipping, please contact them directly prior to purchasing. And if you use code LUNAWITCH15, that's LUNAWITCH15, you receive 15% off your order. Amazing.
Thank you to Luna & Co. Soapery for being an episode sponsor.
Hello there, tea lovers. Let me tell you about a few blends that are sure to elevate your sipping experience to new heights. Picture this: a lazy spring afternoon, a gentle breeze rustling through the trees, and a glass of refreshing iced tea in your hand.
That is where ginger peach tea steps in. The sweetness of ripe peaches dancing with the spicy kick of ginger and cardamom. Cardamom is actually my very favorite spice.
So
and this is all in a luscious, light-bodied black tea. I'm going to be brewing this by the gallon and drinking it all summer long. So whether you enjoy it steaming hot or poured over ice, each sip is a journey to flavor paradise.
Whether you're a seasoned tea connoisseur like Hillary or just dipping your toes into the world of tea like me, now is the perfect time to stock up and savor the flavors. You can visit their website, thejasminepearl.com, to take advantage of these fantastic offers.
And for the moments when you need a burst of refreshment without the caffeine, lemon hibiscus comes to the rescue. Imagine a glass brimming with a beautiful, deep red brew crafted from hibiscus, lemongrass, lemon balm, and lemon myrtle. I love lemon in warm weather. That is my go-to.
This tea is so good.
Absolutely. And each sip of this is like a burst of sunshine on a cloudy day. So the Oregon summers take their time to arrive. I will be drinking a lot of this and pretending that it's August.
And you have to check out all of their phenomenal teas at thejasminepearl.com. And save 10% with coupon code WITCH2024. That's WITCH2024. And you get free shipping on orders over $35.
Until next time, happy sipping, witches, and thank you to the Jasmine Pearl Tea Company for being an episode sponsor.
Well, we are are super, super excited to welcome Bea Sampson to the show. Bea is a queer swamp witch hailing from Florida. They've been perfuming professionally since 2022. Their brand, Venus Invictus, is the blending of ritual adornment and the celebration of ancient myth. We are super, super, super excited to have you here. Obviously, like, it's also just really good to see your face. We get to see people on video if you're listening and wondering why I'm saying that.
I am thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me, y'all.
It's been so long because I haven't seen you since we all went out to dinner. It was you, me, Dakota, and my friend Yawo, and you did this beautiful numerology reading on me right there. And I was like, yes, this is terrific. Also, I just want to say, I just love how collectively more of us are embracing titles like Swamp Witch, you know, yes. Because when I first came into witchcraft back 7,000 years ago, it was like I am a blah, blah degree, blah, blah of the such and such lineage and the blah, blah, blah. And I have this certification. And now it's like people say, I'm a swamp witch from Florida. And everyone's like, yes, that's who I want to make magic with.
Exactly. I mean, listen, when you're from the South, you just got to be proud of it. Not in a, you know, not in that way, but
not that way, the other way,
in the good way, not the bad way,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, so this is a question we ask literally everyone that comes on the podcast. So, you get to answer it as well, but how did you know you were a witch or a magical person? When did you realize?
Well, it started at a very young age. Like, grew up in a household where my mom's favorite movie was Practical Magic, and at a young age, I discovered the craft, of course. Like, movies are huge in my home. So, like, those were, like, kind of my introductions to the magical world and feeling like, oh, wait a minute. There is this whole other thing to life that I'm interested in. And no one around me really, like, knows about it, but I'm going to look into it. And then, of course, being, like, queer and young, growing up in Florida, I was super in love with this kid in high school, head over heels for him, like obsessed, right? And he led me on a fuck ton to the point to where, like, when I eventually told him my feelings, he just like flat out told me that he wasn't interested. Oh, it was such a severe fallout. It was awful. And at that point, I was like, fuck this guy. He literally is a piece of shit and I want the worst for him. And I remember like cursing and hexing him, not even really knowing what I was doing, but like putting all of my energy into it, feeling like really like, fuck this kid. Like, he broke my heart. Like, I want the worst for him. And then finding out like post high school, once we all graduated, as soon as he got out of high school, he went on to do construction, fell off a building, was in a coma for like 4 years.
Okay.
And you're like, well, not saying that it was me, but I put a lot of energy into like fucking his shit up.
So, and then you're like, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, it's like hell has no fury. They like I said, a woman scorned, but I, for me, is that like a witch scorned is.
Yes.
That's
a whole other level.
You know, like not even knowing what I was doing, just like throwing his name in a jar with like random shit, you know, and then like shaking it up and concentrating on it, like literally making witch jars without like any instruction or like
without any reference point. Yeah,
exactly. This was kind of like pre YouTube being like a thing. So like, you know, there weren't TikTok or YouTube or any of that shit to like learn from.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot. I mean, that's one of the reasons we wanted to do a podcast is because we were like, oh, when we were growing up, it was like there wasn't a ton of resources. It's like, where are you going to find like
there
maybe
was,
a New Age
There was
Age-y
the
shop.
One New Age bookstore. There's,
yeah.
And we couldn't like afford any of the books.
And there was probably like two or three books in the back, right? And then, you know, maybe you could find something at the library, maybe. Other than that, it's like, you know, it's like it's limited. Now it's the opposite problem. It's like there are resources everywhere. Where do you go? How do you even choose? And so we were really like, what would we have wanted when we were, you know, just dabbling into witchcraft, like just learning? What would we have wanted? Like people that could help guide us and make sure we're like finding, you know, reputable resources, because there's a lot of non-reputable resources out there, you know?
100%. if you can talk good and you've got good lighting, then, you know, people will listen.
Exactly. I don't know how good we can talk, to be honest, but somehow people put up with us. Somehow they stick around.
What they just said is the problem. If you have, like, there's too many people listening to people who just throw something out there and it's terrifying hot garbage. And it's like, oh, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah.
There is some terrifying hot garbage out there for sure. Okay. So after you kind of went down this, had this realization that this is, you know, the path that you want to go down.
The first book I ever bought, I was like, okay, what is this? In this dusty ass bookstore, Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Hewson. I'll get it.
You're like, yes.
Yes.
And at what point did, scents or perfumes come into your realm of magical practice?
Well, it really didn't come in for me until I moved to New York. I moved to New York in 2015. I met my partner Dakota in 2016. And so I moved to New York and, you know, after doing like drag for a bit, I was just kind of like bouncing around the city. I met Dakota. Dakota was a part of Catland. And then I became a part of Catland as well. Just from like being their partner, being around, and then like eventually working at the shop, and then, you know, kind of facilitating, like creating what Catland became, essentially. And, you know, it really started, I was super interested in making my own incense because I really wasn't happy with what was available to me. Yeah. A lot of it is very synthetic. It always gave me a headache. Smells like shit. Smells good. Yeah. Like unburnt, like,
yeah, but like when you sit, you're like, oh, this is great, and then you burn it, and you're like, this smells nothing like it smelled.
100%. You know, that's so true. I never thought about that, but it's true. Most incense, they smell good, and they all end up smelling like old church.
Yeah,
once you burn them, like old church, not yeah.
And it was just like, okay, you're literally taking this thing and setting it on fire, and you don't know what kind of chemicals you're like igniting in your home. Right.
Yeah.
You're literally like burning it and inhaling it. Like, so like that kind of was like a, ooh, maybe let's not. So I was super interested in making like, you know, just like traditional, like loose incense that you would burn on charcoal. And then kind of like as time went on and I was like making incense, I realized that it wasn't the art of burning the incense that drew me to it. It was how the incense smelled before I set it on fire. It was how the ingredients were smelling together when they were blended. It was how everything was coming together that I was, it was the process of creating is what I loved more than anything. And so from there, I started dabbling into, well, what other type of things can I make that, you know, kind of smell good? And I work with Venus and Aphrodite. So I was super interested in making my own like rose-based oil that I could use at my altar, because for a while I was just using like a rose cologne to wash her statue. And then, you know, I started making like little anointing ritual oils for myself that were like more like fragrance based. And as I was making them and starting to wear them like out of the house and like in public, I noticed that people were asking me about it. And it was one of those things where it was like, oh, wait a minute, you like this too? So I, you know, kind of went down the rabbit hole of like, well, I don't know. It's really just for me. Like, it's really a part of my practice. I don't know if I should be sharing it. And then it became a thing of like, well, if other people enjoy it and I can talk to people about something that I'm, that I love to do and that I'm passionate about, like, why the hell not, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think it's like, there's something really that I love about sharing things that are really important to me, because it's like I get to put all of that love that I have for that thing and like and share it with people more in like in an emotional way, not just like in a practical way, you know, because it's not just like, oh, I do this thing and I, you know, put this thing and this thing together and it makes something pretty, right? It's like it's so much more than that. And I think the passion that we each have for these types of crafts, like when we get to talk about them, like we get to share that passion with people. It's really great.
100%. And, you know, Dakota has a podcast, When God Was Queer, and like they started that when we were in the thick of the pandemic. And, you know, as they were recording like episodes, I was sitting there listening to them talk about like how like radically queer and like trans the Greek myths are.
Yes.
And like, how we can see portions of ourselves in these deities, you know? And that just kind of is what set off me creating Venus Invictus.
That makes sense. Like, what a great moment, though. Like, that, like, aha. I love moments like that where you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. I love that. What do you think is magical about perfumes or scents? Like, how can we utilize those in a magical way?
Well, it's literally like alchemy. Like, when I'm creating them, I'm, like, taking ingredients, blending them together. I mean, if you think about it, you're adding components that come from different plants, different places, and you're blending and mixing. And a lot of times when I make perfume, it can take, if I'm working on a formula, it can take anywhere from a few weeks to a few months to get it right. Because basically what you have to do in this process is create it over and over and over and over. It becomes ritualistic. It really does. Because you're, you know, and I say you make it over and over again because it's like, all right, like, let's say I want to add like jasmine to a fragrance. I'll add a drop of jasmine and then create the rest of the fragrance. And then I go to smell it, right? Once it's done. Well, there's two, I need like a little bit more jasmine, but maybe I'll take out this other ingredient that's not working with the jasmine. So it becomes this like whole process of like, repeat, 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 which is ritual, you know?
Which is ritual, yeah.
But
that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that, like, not only is it alchemy and it's ritualistic, I think that, like, it's also, I don't know, it's one of those things that can transport you, right? It's so, your olfactory senses are so tied to memory that a scent can trigger a memory, right? And that's one of the things that I love about fragrance and perfume is that it can transport you without actually having to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think that it's such a, for me, it's such a trigger for memory. Like I'll like walk into a space and I'll be like, this is like, it's suddenly I have this memory of my childhood or I have this memory of this like really exciting moment or like whatever. And then sometimes too, I'll like know that a spirit's close by because I'll smell the perfume that they wore. Like out of nowhere, like my grandmother sometimes, or my mother sometimes also, where it's like that scent is a call. I'm like, I know, like I don't have that scent anywhere in my house, and suddenly I'm like, oh, I know who's here.
Oh, I fully have like smelled my grandfather on the street, or like
right, where you're like
in like
wait
a
minute,
and I'm like, what is going on?
And you're like, I'm not. No one around me would produce There's that no scent. Here. You know what I mean? It's such a specific thing.
100%. I love
for
it
for sure.
And you know, I think that like. So with my brand Venus Invictus, I think that a lot of times people, I find that I do markets kind of like all over Philly right now. And a lot of times I'll like go to a market set up. People are drawn to the Greek statues, like my whole table set up or whatever. But a lot of times people aren't familiar with myth. They're not familiar with the stories of Greek mythology. And so what I do to kind of like help facilitate the vibe that I'm going for, the energy that I'm bringing, is I create playlists to go along with each scent that I make.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. I think that like, just like scent can transport you, music does the same thing. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Just that, just, and so, and especially the combination of those things will really take you to another time and place. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that those, both of those elements for me, like, especially if I'm trying to get into like a trance state or if I'm trying to like, you know, if, especially if I'm doing divination, like that helps me like completely like center myself because it's something that my, it's like my ADHD brain likes to be like, ooh, what's this over here? And what about this over here? And da, 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 da. And like that auditory and scent that will put me in a space where it's like, I can kind of tune out all the extra noise. And it allows me to get into a trance state faster. And, you know, I think that for the longest time I overlooked smell, but then I had all these experiences, obviously, like where, I mean, I'd had like incense and stuff, but outside of that, like, you know, I started using oils and stuff, both in like, both for obviously anointing stuff, but also just in scent as well, because it's like that scent would get me into the place that I wanted to be, like, and sometimes I would pull that in based off of the, you know, based off of the ritual that I was doing. So I'd be like, you know, I'm trying to pull in these elements or bring in this deity's energy, or I'm trying to bring in this, you know, whatever it is. And it's like getting there really helped, the scent profile really helped me get into that space.
100%. Yeah. I fully think that it can like transport you. It can facilitate that like deep meditative state. It's, you know, it's kind of like a conduit, if you will.
In what other ways do you think that people can use scents or perfumes in their magical practice?
Well, I think not only for like ritual anointment, like, you know, when you're like getting up and doing the day, like even if it's like, I call it like mundane magic, like the daily magic, you know,
yes.
Like anointing yourself before you leave the house for protection or for attraction or for like wealth increase. Like there are ways that you can incorporate scent to do those things for you. So not only like the ritual adornment and use of perfume in that way, but also like perfuming objects, perfuming spells. Like if you're like, let's say you're doing a love spell and it's not anything that has to do with like you consuming stuff, right? Let's say you are using roses. Why not spray the roses before you use them in your ritual with a fragrance?
That's true, actually, right?
A talisman or an amulet that you wear daily, why not add fragrance to it? And it could be anything. It could be like, you know, it could be like a fully made fragrance, or it could be as simple as like an essential oil, you know?
Yeah. What is your favorite spell? What's a favorite spell of yours that involves scents?
So I wrote this zine called Queer Flower Magic.
Okay, I love it.
And it's basically the intersection of the Victorian flower language and how that pertains to queer and trans identity. And like at that intersection, like casting spells with flowers. So one of my favorite spells involves roses. Or basically, you take someone that you're interested in, takes like a few strands of their hair, right? You basically take like whatever, perfume that you're wearing at the time, like, you know, Chanel, whatever perfume,
whatever. Yeah.
You add that to a new like perfume bottle with their hair. And then you add like a little bit of like rose quartz, a little bit of dried roses, and then wear that when you're going to be with this person to kind of like entice them, to draw them in, kind of like a love drawing type of ritual.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I love that. Well, cause then it's everything. It's like, yeah, it's like the scent. It's the element of you and them, you know, it's
yeah.
The roses. Yeah. I mean, that's really cool. I like that a lot.
And so, you know, scent is such a powerful drive behind our attraction to people or our repulsion.
Oh my God.
People.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Like just really that, you know, when someone smells good, you know, or if you've got an aversion to like, you don't like their personality, then all of a sudden everything about them and, you know, the lotions they use or the colognes or the perfumes, you get a scent, mm-hmm. You're like, ah, smells like my ex or whatever.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, it really
it
is.
It was funny. I was at a store yesterday with my daughter and there was a, we shall say, very attractive man that walked by. And as he walked by, he was wearing a very, very delicious cologne. And both, this is how I know she's a smell person too, because she looked at me and she looked at him and she went, can we make him walk by again?
Yes. Oh, I love it that.
It is though. I mean, like, I find that smell, for me at least, smells are like, I have very, it's like very extreme reactions to them. If I don't like a smell, I'm like, oh God. And it's like the most repulsive thing. Mm-hmm. And then if I love a smell, I'm just like, can't get enough of it. Like I wish it would be on everything all the time. You know, like this, the scents that I really love, like I have a few, or a few oil blends or a particular essential oil or even a particular flower. It's like, I'll be like, I want this. But if something is like bad scents for me, it's not like, oh, I don't love that. It's usually like, ew, I hate it. or I really like it. There's not like a lot of in between with scents for me.
I love scent so much. I mean, like, even thinking about like bad smells, how do we know that those smells are actually bad?
Yeah. How are they universally bad? Like, right.
Are they
like
universally bad, or are they bad to us because of conditioning of like time, of,
right.
Like, just the right. Human existence and how we react to the things that are linked with those bad smells, like disease, plague, pestilence. Yeah. It's really fascinating to think about.
My dog loves the smell of dead rat, and he's like, yeah. And then he comes to the house and we're immediately hose him down.
In the gross, they're like, let's go to the beach, let's find a dead crab and roll in that. And I'm like, no, that's not what we want to do.
Yeah, but dogs are scavengers. Right. And so they're like, yeah, dead.
They are like the happiest. Dead, rotting things.
Yeah. It's enticing.
They're like, this is amazing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. What's your favorite scent? Do you have a favorite? Or like,
okay, are we talking commercial? Or are we talking about like the stuff that I make? What are we talking about?
All of the above.
All of it.
All of the above. Okay. Commercial favorite scent. I would say, that is such a difficult one. So there is this discontinued perfume. I think it was from like 2016. It was from MAC Makeup. It was called Velvet Teddy. It was like, they took like their most popular perfumes. It's called a shade scent. They took their like a collection of their most popular perfumes or most popular lipsticks, turned them into perfumes. And it was just so delicious. It smells like, it smells like hot, fresh, warm cinnamon cakes and honey.
Ooh.
Oh, I am a gourmand girly. Honey, I love a gourmand. I love things that smell like dessert. I want to smell like dessert. I want to be dessert. So it would have to be that one, or this brand Aesop has a fragrance called Marrakesh, which is fantastic. It's heavy
Marrakesh.
On Apoponax and labdanum and frankincense. It's very like church incense-y.
That's my vibe. I love that.
And then I would say like out of the ones that I make, my favorites, I mean, it's, you know, and it's interesting because it's not one that I wear. It's one that I sell a lot of though, because it is so unique. I have a fragrance called the Necromantion, and those were the temples to Hades and Persephone where you would go to speak to spirits of the dead.
Yes.
And so that being the inspiration, I made a fragrance that is based off of the cycle of life, death, and rebirth in the forest. So the inspiration was that, but also like, you know, like mushrooms growing from carcasses, like fresh mold on the forest floor. So it's literally a fragrance that smells like petrichor, wet earth, mud, literally like lifting up logs, digging for worms. It is so stinky and so incredible.
I love that, though.
Not everyone wants to smell like a mushroom.
I know the smell. Like, you're, like, lifting up a log. I know exactly what that smells like.
Not everyone wants to smell like mushrooms and, like, wet earth. But the people that do, they are completely obsessed.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably my favorite out of the ones that I make, just because of the reaction that I get out of people when they smell it. They're like, holy shit, this smells like deep woods camping. And I'm like, yes, I've done it.
You're like, I did it. I love that though, because that is like, that is one of those things that just transports you. You're like, I am literally like, I can see myself standing in the middle of the woods, you know? I love that.
I have another one.
Is there anyone who doesn't think that cucumber melon is the smell of the 90s?
Oh my God. Cucumber melon.
It kind of
How
is.
Can
the
you
smell
not
of
smell that and like not yeah. just feel 90s.
It's
but
like
wasn't
every...
it also like brown sugar spice?
Cherry wasn't blossom orchid.
Yeah, there was cherry blossom as well.
Cherry blossom, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but cucumber melon was that, yeah.
That was everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It was like the great grandmother of pumpkin spice that would eventually be everywhere as well. Although cucumber melon was...
But to me, it's like
around.
That's one of those nostalgia smells. Right? Like you smell cucumber melon and all of a sudden you feel like you're in middle school. And you're like, what is happening right now? Like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And what's funny is my daughter a couple of years ago found it. And she was about that, you know, she was like that age. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's just something about that age. You must have like, there's a certain hormone level, right? Where you're starting to get your hormones and puberty's kicking in, where all of a sudden you're like cucumber melon, all the things.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Well, I feel like there's definitely a time where like scent becomes important and you're like, ooh, I need to smell good. And I'm paying attention to the way other people smell.
Yes. Because I don't think like, there's like a really distinct moment. Cause like before you don't care.
No.
I didn't care what I smelled like. I mean, I was like a kid running around in the mud, you know, like, right. No one gave a shit.
Yeah.
At some
I'm still
point,
trying to get
like,
my son to care. Cause he comes home from school smelling like a foot.
Oh.
I'm like, please, for the love, mommy has bought you deodorant. Wear your deodorant. You stink like a foot. I don't smell it. I don't smell like everyone else does. We all do.
Like, you are the only one that doesn't smell, think it smells exactly. bad. Everybody else thinks it's gross. Put the deodorant on, please. What about you, Courtney? You have a favorite scent?
I love men's Old Spice.
I do too.
Oh yeah, like as in this, it's very nostalgic.
I love it.
Yeah, no, I actually wore it for a while because, you know, a lot of men's deodorants don't have antiperspirant in them. And it's just like, sweat is natural, sweat is healthy, and I don't really want to plug up all my pores and stuff like that. And I had a woman friend who wore Old Spice, and she had all these men hitting on her because they couldn't quite place, like, even
That's
though they were
amazing,
they smelled it. It smelled a little different on her, but also it's like psychologically they're not expecting it. So it's like, I really like the smell.
What is it?
What is that? And I noticed that is that a lot of it, you know, when I first started wearing it, my now husband, at the time he was my boyfriend, he's like, why are you wearing men's deodorant? And he has no sense of smell. He was born without it. And so he had no idea. I'm like, because I like the way it smells. So I wear it. And it would, at first, that kind of like bugged him because he's like, because he didn't know what it smelled like. And so he's just like, so you walk around smelling like a man? And I'm like, in a good way, yes. And then one day he liked it because he came to visit me in New York. And, He had forgotten his deodorant back in Delaware. And so he's like, well, you use men's deodorant, so I'll just put that on. Yeah. But I think is probably my favorite smell is Old Spice.
That is so nostalgic for me. My grandpa smelled like Old Spice.
Yeah. Like
my grandparents, my grandfathers, my father, my stepfather all
just,
wear
like,
Old
you
Spice.
You start to like, it's those scents that you're like, oh man,
yeah,
it just brings back so many memories.
Old Spice actually has this really great marketing pitch recently that said, if your grandfather hadn't worn it, you wouldn't exist.
Oh, I love that. That's so good.
That's so good.
That's yeah, so good. I actually stopped wearing it because I'm trying to deplastify my life. So I started using deodorants that come in a cardboard container instead of plastic. But I do miss smelling like Old Spice. I loved the way I smelled when I smelled like an old man.
I love that.
You're like,
my favorite personal fragrance is lavender amber.
Mm.
Oh yeah, that's
my favorite. I love amber.
That is a good one.
And lavender amber as a combination is my ultimate favorite. Amber, just that warmth and just that it's just warm and it's comfortable and it's sensual and it's all the things. And then you throw lavender into that, and I'm done. I'm toast. I'm good. It's my happy place.
I make a perfume oil that's lavender and amber with a little bit of citrus, and it's one of my best sellers.
Oh man, everyone probably wants just to lick you when you wear it. Because that sounds like a cake. Like,
they're like
lavender
like
amber
to, like,
with citrus.
Take
cake.
In your smell. Yeah, I like really obscure scents. There's this Italian perfumer, Filippo Sorcinelli, I think is his last name. But he's also an atelier for the Vatican, which is like this really wild, right? And he made this perfume based off of in Lucia di Lammermoor, the opera, he based his perfume off of her kind of mad scene, her crazy scene. And it is the coolest scent. And it smells very sacred, but it also smells, I don't know how to describe it. It has a lot of like, it definitely has like some, it almost smells like a church in a small way, but then there's all these complexities on the, like that just, there's something about it that's very resiny. And I love the scent and everything he does, but it's a fascinating, I'll send you info on him. Cause like my friend who's really in perfume was the one that told me about him and his products. And I was like, and he's an atelier for the Vatican. So he does like all the like wild, crazy, incredible robes and stuff like that. I'm like, what a wild.
That's amazing.
And he does not look like he has tattoo. He has some tattoos. Like he does not look like the atelier. It's just like this. It's really cool. Anyway.
Oh, I have a question. B, did you ever see the movie? I just was just looking it up because I couldn't remember the title. It's called Perfume, The Story of a Murderer.
Yeah.
Do you love that movie?
One of my favorites, even though like watching it now, it's a little cheesy, but
yes.
One of my favorite movies. It's phenomenal. It is so good.
Well, I need to watch it.
Yeah, it's it's disturbing. Kanani, this is not a movie for you. Hillary, it's definitely a movie for you. It's about this guy that he's obsessed with a scent of a lover he had when he was very young. And he spends his whole, and he becomes like an expert perfume maker. And he ends up like trying to make the perfume out of corpses. Like, sorry, spoiler alert, but that's just part of the story.
Oh, the ages now.
Say it again.
The movie has been out for ages. Like if you are ruined because of a spoiler at this point, then I don't know what's
going on. I'm not going to tell you the ending. The ending is pretty surprising and stuff like that. Yeah, but no, Hillary, you should go watch
Kanani's
it.
Kanani's like hard Kanani, no don't watch already. It. I can see it.
I don't do scary. It's not scary. It's just weird.
It is weird. The thing that's fascinating to me is that it's a period piece as well. So we're talking.
That's like right up my alley. I'm excited.
We're talking about perfume when it was done by enfleurage, which basically is when you take like animal fat, tallow, to soak up an ingredient, and then you repeat that process over and over by like, you know, taking the tallow, straining it, and then kind of like getting that essence of whatever it is you're trying to make an essence of.
Yeah. So I see where this is going with the people. Yeah. Okay.
It's not scary. It does not.
I'm excited.
It doesn't scare you, but it makes you kind of go like you end up leaving saying, how was that somehow erotic? How was this somehow a romantic, erotic movie? Why did I see it that way? And then you realize you're not alone. And then, but it does, that's why it's creepy, because you leave going like, I'm in the mood for love now after watching this movie about a serial killer. You're what like, is wrong minute. With me?
I have a problem.
But the way that B's looking at me, they're looking at me like, kind of like, oh yes, my child, this is the threshold.
This is the threshold. Yes, 100%. It literally is so good. And it's filmed so beautifully. Like this guy or whatever, the like murderer, the perfumer, he has this like really insane, incredible nose. So like he'll smell things from miles away. So these like beautiful, gorgeous scenes of like running like river brooks and like he's smelling a pig from three towns away. Like it's just, it's filmed impeccably. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's called again?
It's called Perfume, the Story of a Murderer.
Okay, I'm going to watch this tonight. Yeah, for sure.
I have not read it though.
Yeah, it's probably a better book than a movie. A lot of things are.
Usually, not always. Every once in a while I'm like, okay, better as a movie, but usually that's not the case.
Yeah.
B, tell us what you have. Do you have anything interesting coming up? Like, what do you have coming up going on?
Unveiling the new line of the perfumes.
I know, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm constantly, like, in production right now, doing markets and kind of running Apocrypha with Dakota digitally is, like, a full-time job for us.
I bet.
So right now, yeah, I've just been, like, doing markets like crazy. I've got two coming up this weekend. In Philly, and yeah, just, you know, trying to get out there and like meet folks, also like considering putting together a market here myself. I was thinking
that would be amazing.
Like a scent based market,
kind that of would like be so cool.
Free market. So like soaps, perfumes, candles, skincare, things that are like
The Smell Pretty Market.
Yeah.
Smell Pretty Market.
I would cover that. That's where I want to be. I love smells so much. I'm like, I want to be there.
Yeah. So I definitely would say probably keep a lookout for that. I'm turning out perfume like constantly as well, like new fragrances, dropping them, releasing them. These days, like any little old thing will inspire me. And I have a notebook going right now of ideas and like scent creations that I want to make. So anytime I have downtime, I just come to the studio and I just start experimenting and playing around in perfume chemicals.
I am curious. Like, you said that lavender, amber, and it had a citrus in it was a popular one. What are some of the really popular scents that people just love right now?
People really love fig, anything with fig in it.
Interesting. The earthy ones then.
Anything with fig, ambrosia is probably another one of my best sellers. It's like ambrosia, the nectar of the gods, right? So it smells like a decadent tea party. There are notes of black tea, lavender, honey, blackberry, fig. It's like jammy and sweet and like kind of musky as well. People love fig right now. People also love, I'm noticing a trend where a lot of people are getting into kind of like unisex fragrance. Like, I don't want to smell like a lady or a man. And I'm like, I get that vibe. I get that feeling and I can
really. Like, I know, and I want to provide you with cool scents.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got you. So, just a lot of, I kind of specialize in like niche, interesting scents. So I got all the good smells that people come for.
Well, I love when you said that, an idea will, something will inspire a scent. And I never thought about that. Like, what's an example of a moment or an experience that inspired a scent for you?
Good question.
I had this specific memory of being a kid in the 90s and getting a toy from McDonald's and opening it up and smelling the toy kind of smelled like it smelled like PVC. It smelled like plastic, but it also smelled like roses a little bit, like oddly enough. So that kind of being like my memory inspiration, I created a scent that is a rubber latex rose.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's a little leathery. It's rosy as well. It's called Hermaphroditus, and it's
those,
like gender bending fragrances, which is fun.
Right. And it reminds me of this when you said that. It reminded me of that scene in the Barbie movie when Barbie, Margot Robbie, is getting in the box and they're like trying to send her back to Barbie Land. And then as she gets in the box, she goes, "Ooh, that smell. I remember that smell." And I remember the smell of opening a Barbie doll box. Yes. And that's when it,
Same. Yeah. The smell is like so particular, right? Like I can smell it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Being inspired in that way by like memories that I have, or sometimes when I visit places, I'll be inspired and I'll just like take notes to like go home and then like kind of expand and elaborate on them. But also sometimes just the myths of Greek mythology will inspire me. Like for example, I was inspired. I do like seasonal fragrances, so when it's like fall to winter, I make a Persephone fragrance. So I use like pomegranate. I use like spice mold wine.
I'm going to need some of that.
It is decadent. It is lovely. But I only make it half a year because much like in her myth, she spends half her time in the underworld. So when she's not around, my like spring to summer fragrance is Dionysus. And that one, I was just inspired to make something kind of based off of what I know about Dionysus. And I know that he carries a thyrsus. He carries this staff that's made out of fennel stalk. So like that kind of being the main top note that I wanted to include in the fragrance, I kind of built off of that. And of course, I wanted it to smell like wine. There's fig in that one as well. And some tomato leaf, surprisingly. So it has this like garden type of vibe to it.
I love that. That is like, I mean, I spent a bunch of time in Greece last year, and like scent was like one of the things that
fearless.
I mean, there's so, well, first of all, it's just like just walking around. There's so much, but also like when we would go to some of these, like some of these like sites where there were ruins or like, or ritual sites, right. Not just like, I mean, it's also like the plants that are in the area are often so fragrant. Like I can smell right now what it smelled like standing like, you know, at one, we went to the site where the Eleusinian Mysteries took place. And so it was this really incredible, like, and I can smell what that smells like, the air, the plants that were in the area and what those, that fragrance smell. So like, that is like, there's so much integration of scent in a lot of those myths, you know,
100%.
Both from the plant offerings, the people, yeah, you know, everything.
You just reminded me, actually, I was in a group show not too long ago. Well, at this point, it's probably about a year ago before I moved, but I was in a group show for this art gallery in Chinatown in New York. It's called Olfactory Art Keller, and it's literally like a scent gallery.
Wow.
So we'll do like artists like scent exhibitions. And
oh my
I was
God, that's so cool. What is it called?
It's called Olfactory Art Keller.
Cool.
I was a part of this group show called Portraits and Scent. And so I decided to do a portrait of Agnes Sampson, which is this infamous witch that was tried for witchcraft and killed, unfortunately, in Scotland. So I decided to use like seaweed that was specific to the Scotland region for the perfume. I wanted it to smell like torture and like
smell like torture. Kind of like
the fear of like being
persecuted, yes. Right?
But also including things that were like kind of a part of her story, because she was accused of raising contrary winds, trying to sink his ship when the king was coming back from some bullshit. So yeah, there's like, I powdered bone for it, even though that doesn't have a smell. I think that it adds like to the essence of the fragrance.
Like to the essence, nice. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then like, of course, added like a few human teeth to the gorgeous perfume bottle.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so good. Amazing. Well, B, where can people find you? So if you want to go buy your amazing perfumes, where can they find you?
Well, you can find my perfumes all over the internet. First of all, I have an Etsy. It's Venus Invictus on Etsy. But also, you can find my fragrances at Apocrypha.co. And that is the witch shop that Dakota and I run. It's digital at the moment. But there, I do like perfume education. I do classes. I do like a perfume 101 type of class where you kind of like learn the lingo, learn like some ingredients and, you know, take a crash course on like what it is to make perfume.
I love that. We'll have these obviously linked in all of the show notes so everyone can find you. But thank you so much. This has been amazing. It's been so nice to see you and talk to you. And thank you so much for sharing so much of yourself and your practice and your beautiful perfume craft with us.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, thanks for listening. We always appreciate you. And to our sponsors, we always appreciate you as well. And to everyone listening, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to That Witch Life podcast. Our music is by Dustin Schultz, editing by Corey Drake. If you like what we do, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee or check out our merch on our Etsy store or join us on Patreon for bonus content, ad-free episodes, or to join our Witch Squad. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For show notes, audio transcript, or to ask us a question to answer on a future episode, go to thatwitchlife.com. Until then, keep moting that shit. We will talk to you next week.
So mote it be.